You're listening to Box Office Bros. Starring Corey Osborne. It's a party every week, baby.
Embarrass me in front of Corey.
How many of these guys are named Corey?
And Chance Oliver.
Are you prepared to take that chance?
I think you ought to know what our chances are.
You had your chance and you blew it.
Let's start the show.
Now go do that voodoo that you do.
Hold on to your butts.
Showtime, a-holes.
Hello there. How's it going? This is Corey Osborne of the Box Office Bros. Podcast, and I am joined, as per usual, with Chance Oliver.
That's me, begrudgingly. What?
Oliver Twist! It's Chance Oliver! My mate, you want some more? You want some more movie news? I want some more? Hello?
The British How's Empire deserves to
peep,
fall.
Peep, peep, cheerio! Blimey! Bloody hell!
I'm sorry.
So is this like our Gremlins 3 where they're British now?
I'm not sure, actually.
I don't.
I
can't be bothered.
You can't be bothered.
No, I've been just watching Disney Plus constantly. Constantly.
Same here. Disney Plus has kind of become like my addiction at this point. You know how some people are addicted to like different, you know, like substances? For me, it's
like
streaming.
Methamphetamine, like South Dakota is.
Yeah, pretty much. Did you hear about that?
Oh,
anybody else hear about that? They're like, meth. We're on it. That is a terrible, like, we thought that Nebraska was bad with the whole, like, Nebraska, it's not for everyone.
I mean,
but for their one.
They're talking about it. We're talking about it.
You're right.
Well, it's funny imagining some granny in church talking about how she's on meth.
Well, you know, this is a great way to derail a podcast. And
I love that Bryan Cranston when he makes that cool blue stuff.
Oh yes, that methylamine.
Oh, that Jesse, he is handsome.
Oh gosh, yes, a bitch.
Oh my god, I wasn't going to go that far. Oh, well, dearie, let me take my dentures out and think about Jesse from Breaking Bad.
You know, we were just quoting. Breaking Bad. FCC, please don't run me over.
Well, you can say bitch on the radio.
I can? Oh, no, yeah, we actually have gone through this. But no, cool. Anyways. Hello, guys. Hello, gals. We have a great show lined up for y'all today. We're going to be talking about The Mandalorian Episode 2. We're going to be talking about all the Marvel movies that are coming out. We're going to be talking about... not all of them, but you know what I mean. Like, there are new ones coming out, per se.
They just announced dates.
Yeah, they've announced dates for them. And then we're just going to talk about other stuff, and we're going to talk about why some people are being really dumb and annoying in the movie sphere. So this might be a little of a ranty episode, but... Yeah. You want to just go ahead and start off with talking about The Mandalorian?
Yes.
By the way, we have a guest in the studio, photographer, sports photographer, fun guy, David Fessner's in the house here. He's not on a mic right now, but I just wanted to ask him real quick. Have you watched The Mandalorian, David?
I have not, no.
Do you care about The Mandalorian?
Maybe.
We might spoil it a little bit, so if you want, you will be warned. We're going to talk about our spoiler-free thoughts, but then we're going to probably get right thick into them spoilers.
Yep.
Sounds good.
So, okay, just making sure. Okay, anyways.
Just making now, cause sure.
Because, you know, he's just looking over our shoulders, seeing how the whole radio show game is. And, you know, he's learning from probably the absolute worst people possible to. So, you know.
Wow.
But... What did you think about this episode of The Mandalorian? This is the second episode of The Mandalorian. It was directed by Rick Famuyiwa of Dope fame.
Dope.
Because he directed Dope, and that's a wonderful movie. So, yeah.
Well, the episode is, as the kids say, dope.
Do the kids say dope now? But
I don't know. Regardless.
if it's
someone who's like 29 and wears a monster hat, I bet that guy says dope.
Oh, you're right. Classic Kyle.
Classic Kyle. No, this episode was awesome. Like,
yeah,
just beautifully shot, beautifully paced, and adorable for reasons we will get into later. Decently funny, and I don't know, like, just knee deep in Star Wars lore. as far as stuff like that you see and hear. I mean, I'd say it's better than episode two or episode one.
Oh, no, for sure. I agree.
Best episode so far out of two.
Which is good, which means that I could only go like up from here or down from here. But with the trajectory of this series, I only see it coming up because I'm pretty sure. Is Deborah Chow the next person to helm an episode? I believe so.
Maybe.
Like, I'll look this up real quick. And Deborah Chow, just to let you guys know, she is the lady who's going to be directing all of the Obi-Wan series because they were so impressed with her work. Yes, she is, actually. They were so impressed with her work for the Mandalorian stuff. They're like, let's go ahead and direct all of the Obi-Wan series, which is crazy. Beat. So I'm very excited to see what she does because she's directed episodes of Better Call Saul, American Gods, Mr. Robot, The Man in the High Castle, all shows that I really, really like. Lost in Space, I was a little iffy on. It's pretty good. It's not amazing. But Lost in Space, Jessica Jones, Fear the Walking Dead,
Jessica
Rain. Unfortunately, she also did an episode of Iron Fist, but it was probably a good episode in Iron Fist.
Yeah, I bet it was.
But it's one of those deals where, yeah, she's directed a lot of good television. So I'm really excited to see what she does with this next episode. We can see what they're so, you know, impressed with her, you know? But getting into that, I haven't really mentioned what I thought about this episode. And oh my goodness, it's leaps and bounds better than the first one. I thought that it was well-paced. I was sad about the runtime, but they used that runtime to their advantage because I don't know if we could have dealt with the silence of this episode for any longer. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? But it worked it into his advantage and everything like that.
Right.
And I think if you're not going to have a ton of dialogue, a lower and a slimmer runtime is actually good for it and everything like that. So I thought that it served the episode well. I thought some people are saying that the episode was a little more filler for them, but I think those people aren't thinking about the story as a whole. I think things that happen to the Mandalorian in this episode is going to actually influence how he acts and what he does with certain things in future episodes. And the thing is, and this is the hero's journey, this is like very classic George Lucas kind of stuff going on in this episode. There's a disturbance. There's something in the hero's journey that causes him to not go directly to where he's supposed to go or she's supposed to go. And so I think it's very interesting to find yourself in that place, you know?
Yeah.
And so I think that it's very important to not necessarily look at episodes like this as filler and think about how, like, there doesn't have to be a big, huge plot revelation every single episode. And here's the deal. There was a big plot revelation, so I don't even understand why people are saying this episode's filler.
Because
people are like, I think people are just expecting balls-to-the-wall action at all times and everything like that. And I think that, I don't know, I think sometimes Star Wars fans get a little rustled the wrong way if things don't go the exact way that they want, because this episode isn't the exact way that I wanted it to be, because I was like, oh yeah, they're probably just gonna uptick on the epicness. That's what I thought, and they kind of like brought it down and made it more personal in this episode. But I thought that was a huge benefit for us learning who the Mandalorian is and learning who these other characters are. And also, I have spoken.
Yeah, I'm just going to say it. If you think this episode was filler, you're stupid, man. You should probably go eat soap.
Yeah, I'm just saying, think about narratives and think about, like, what does everything really have to be? Oh, yeah, this is crazy. Yeah, all this stuff is happening. Wow, this is awesome. Wow, this is cool. Wow. Because, like, I'm sorry, series like that kind of get a little bit boring to be completely honest. So it's like because it's like all action and it's all thrill but no characters. It kind of reminds me of, like, The Walking Dead now, almost, everything like that.
Yeah, Walking Dead, definitely, like, seasons 7 through 10.
Mm-hmm. I would even say that probably started in season 5, to be honest.
Yeah.
Because up until season 3 is when I, like, that's when I was really invested into The Walking Dead. 4, I was kind of invested, but then as time went on, I was just like, ugh.
Basically, like, halfway through season 4, just it's kind of a slide.
No, yeah, exactly.
Because that's when you still have, like, you still have the governor in the first half of season 4.
Mm-hmm.
And then obviously Negan,
the governor,
Jeffrey Dean Morgan is awesome, and he's pretty much awesome in everything that
he's become, like the main character of that show, which is kind of funny.
I kind of want to watch it just because he is.
No, yeah, and the funny thing is like there's a clip of him just annoying the Whisperers, if you know who those are, and
yep,
Walking Dead lore and all that stuff. He's just like annoying them, and just like he's just pointing out the kind of like plot holes in their existence, mm-hmm, and like what they do and how they do it and why they do it, and kind of how it's a little dumb that, yep, they go that way, and then they're just like, shut up,
stop, please talking, talk, please.
And he's just annoying them. I'm like, for that scene alone, I kind of just want to check out that episode of The Walking Dead.
I don't have enough.
Yeah,
as soon as summer hits, as soon as next semester's over,
mm-hmm,
you ain't gonna see me.
No, you're just gonna be watching television, be watching catching
television
up,
playing video games, and maybe just a little less angsty.
No, for sure. Hopefully.
No, but let's get into the episode.
Let's get so, right into spoilers, the thick of spoilers.
Go pay like $7 that for Disney Plus, you cheapo. Just kidding.
No, for sure.
If you're waiting for the end of all the episodes to be out before getting it, I suggest you wait. Anywho, so the episode pretty much picks up right where we left off. Mm-hmm. We've got a green little baby who the internet has deemed Baby Yoda.
Yes,
Baby Yoda. If you're going to be pretentious about it, you have no friends.
No, I'm sorry. Yeah, it's like you're probably one of those people who are like, but in Legends. Yeah, that's literally, that's the nerd voice. Maybe if nerds became less annoying about it, I would choose a different voice for them, Chance. Anyways, they're awful.
Yeah,
but here's the deal.
It's Baby Yoda. We call it Baby Yoda because Yoda's species is not named.
Yeah, Baby
the
Yoda.
The only other person that species that's in there for more than a brief 1 second scene is Yoda, who's in, let's see, 5 out of the 6 movies before Disney took over, and then he's even in another one. He's in The Last Jedi, so shut up. That's literally the only other person of the species we've seen.
Mm-hmm.
Besides Yaddle for like 2 seconds.
I'm just saying that Baby Yoda, I didn't know that I needed Baby Yoda.
Right.
I think I might have mentioned this last episode, but I just know that Baby Yoda just, like, he's so adorable. And there's this, like, and basically the way that this episode is set up is that Jawas basically tear up the Mandalorian ship, and then Baby Yoda is literally just like innocently looking on as the Mandalorian is disintegrating Jawas.
Well, yeah,
which
well,
is just a wonderful moment.
Well, like it. Well, it starts off with
different them, bounty hunters.
Yeah, like
Bosk kind of people.
They look like Bosk, but I'm not sure they are.
They're not Bosk. They aren't Bosk, but there's Bosk
species. Well, I know they're not Bosk, but they're not like his species either. They look similar, but not the same.
I thought one of them was. Okay, I might have been.
I don't know. Isn't Bosk like a really tall, like,
no, I thought Bosk was like the same, like, he was taller than like Jango Fett, but not like by a lot.
I don't know.
But anyways, yeah.
I don't know. They're also a different color. But regardless,
That doesn't mean they're not the same species, Chance. What are you trying to say here?
I'm saying that.
What are you trying to say here? What are you trying to say here?
I'm saying.
Trying to say that you're thinking that colors make people different species or something? Chance?
No, I'm saying.
Chance? What are you trying to say? What are you trying to say, Chance?
Well, wouldn't it also be racist if you assumed every lizard-like person was of Bosk species? That's pretty terrible, Corey.
Well,
you think if someone of your skin tone would, no, okay, would learn to not okay, make such
wanna,
assumptions?
You wanna square up right now, Chancey Pants?
Hey, you started it. You made it awkward, and I just escalated it because I knew. Anywho, lizard people, races aside, it's beautiful because you see him walking through this little cavern crevice thing in walking back to his ship with Yoda and his little baby Yoda in his little pod just floating there, and like
so cute.
Well, that, and it's awesome because like, it's shot so beautifully, the other bounty hunters are there because like you see their shadows first dance up, and then the Mandalorian looks behind, and then in the reflection of his helmet, you see them jump over the cavern in the reflection while he's turned around.
Mm-hmm.
I thought that was awesome shot. That was an awesome shot.
Not for sure.
And then, you know, he battles them, and then he just he disintegrates the ethnically ambiguous lizard man right in front of Baby Yoda, who doesn't blink at all.
On the Wikipedia, they should just have that under whatever this character's name is, ethnically ambiguous lizard man.
Who's this? I don't know.
It's the ethnically ambiguous lizard man.
Maybe Bosk, who knows? But, so yeah, then we get to, you come over the ridge, you see the Mandalorian ship is being...
scavenged.
Yeah, scavenged by Jawas. And he just, you know, gently reaches into his, I guess his bullet holster thing, where he just like loads up a little thing and just...
With his big rifle, he just disintegrates Jawas. Then he's really frustrated, and then homeboy from last episode kind of like, as he's frustrated, homeboy from last episode decides to help him because he goes
Hold on, Corey.
Wow,
you're forgetting about the whole sandcrawler chase.
Oh yeah,
you fool!
No, you're right. That's like one of the best sequences. I don't know why.
So like, so you get like a really nice up close part with the sandcrawler, which you really don't see that much. Mm-hmm. So like, the sandcrawler just starts going away, and like Mandalorian just like hops on. Then you see Baby Yoda like following along in his little pod, just like, I'm coming too.
It's like, I'm here. I'm Baby Yoda.
It's like, I'm here.
Cute.
I'm adorable. And I'm here to sell
It's so
toys.
Funny because everybody's like, Baby Groot, no way. Baby Yoda is now what has captured our hearts.
Everyone's thrown away their Baby Groot Funko Pops. They're all in the garbage. It's going to be like...
Baby Yoda, Baby Groot is very sad now.
It's going to be like, instead of plastic in the ocean, it's going to just be how many Baby Groot Funko Pops are in the ocean.
That's funny.
And sad. But... So, yeah, we get, like, he's, like, climbing up. He's, like, throwing Jawas out of the little windows. And then you get to, like, where he gets to the top. They're trying to, like... Also, there's, like, this funny little part where, like, he kind of looks like Batman and Robin climbing up the side of the building. Mm-hmm. Where this on the side of the sandcrawler. But he gets to the top, and, like, the Jawas just have, like, all their little electric guns trained on him, and they shoot him. Uh-huh. And, like, knocks himself out, and he falls to the earth. And then he just wakes up with Baby Yoda next to him.
It's so evocative of Indiana Jones.
Yeah.
And all that kind of stuff. It just seems like a chase sequence from there.
Where he almost definitely gets hit by the rock.
No, yeah. And then but even at the end when he gets up there, he's like, and then falls off of
there. Yeah, that's totally an indie move.
Mm-hmm. And right. So it was just so fun. I'm really enjoying Pedro Pascal's performance as the Mandalorian,
mm-hmm.
everything like that. It's just so cool how you can kind of like, how you still think he's interesting even under the mask.
Well, he can be a badass and then just get like bamboozled by a bunch of Jawas.
Which is so evocative of like Han Solo too.
Right.
Where it's like he's BA, but then a ton of like Ewoks give him a run for his money.
He gets thwarted by a monster in the trash can.
Mm-hmm. No, but
and then like he wakes up, Baby Yoda's just chilling. Oh, you know what I forgot? That little scene where he's like repairing his armor and like Baby Yoda.
Oh
gets
no,
out
yeah,
his
that's after
pod.
That. Isn't that afterwards though? Or no, that is before. That is before. You're right. But yeah, but Baby Yoda
just like gets
to, like,
out and he's just like
he's trying to force heal him.
He's trying to heal him with the force, and it's so cute the way he's reaching up.
And then he's just like the man was like, no, go back. And he does
it. Keeps coming back out, and he has to shut it. But yeah, so now we get back to our boy Nick Nolte.
Yeah, his name is Kui. I'm trying to think of how to pronounce the name.
Isn't there a Dragon Ball character named Kui?
I have no idea, but I'm sure there is.
Yeah, he's got a name, I'm assuming.
But do you know that Nick Nolte was supposed to be Han Solo?
Really?
Yeah, he auditioned for Han Solo, and he was like one of the people who they like kind of chose. And
Nick
I think
Nolte has not aged as well as Harrison Ford has.
You're right. Nick Nolte, he would have looked good as Han Solo. Like
he would have.
I genuinely think that he would probably. And I think he would have even did a good job.
Episode 7 Han Solo.
Definitely. Definitely.
No, but
because it's like, I wish you guys could see this picture that I'm showing Chance here. But yeah, that's how he would have looked like for episode 7 if he was going to be Han Solo in that. So That would have been a little bit
like, but
for doing as much drugs as Harrison Ford did, he didn't do a ton of drugs, but he still did drugs.
Yeah,
he looks really good for his age.
He does, which
like an actor has not done drugs.
Yeah, no, you're right. Like,
well, he survived a plane crash.
You're right.
That he was piloting.
I don't know what the deal with like Harrison Ford is. He just needs to.
Hasn't he been in like multiple? Has he been in more than one?
He's been in so many accidents. That's the thing. He's had like a brush with death so many times, and he's probably gonna outlive Mark Hamill still. As much as we love, I'm not saying that. We don't want Mark Hamill to die. We love Mark Hamill, but still, I'm just saying that my money's on Harrison Ford just because of his survivability.
He can make his own Final Destination movies.
Yeah, you're right.
No, but so we get back to Nick Nolte's farm. You've got like you see him, and he's just like, "Oh, you're still alive. Cool."
Yeah, he's just like, "Yep." He's like, "You're still alive. Cool."
Yeah, it's like verbatim what he said.
Yeah, exactly.
No, and then like you get him like talking, like him looking at Baby Yoda, and like Baby Yoda like chasing a frog, catching a frog, putting it in his mouth. And then, like, the Mandalorian just, like, spit that out. He just swallows it all.
It's such, like, a Yoda theme, too. Because it just reminded me of Yoda on Dagobah just, like, being a freak and just, like, eating whatever and doing all that kind of stuff.
Oh, my God. And, like, he looks so happy and content after he eats the frog, too.
Dude, Baby Yoda is just so adorable.
Yeah, and he's just like, I'm stuck here. My ship's been destroyed. Scavenged. I was like, not destroyed. It was like the Ewok, or not Ewoks, the Jawas scavenged, not destroyed.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't matter. I'm still stuck here.
He's like,
jerk. It's like, well, we're going to have to go trade for your parts back.
Mm-hmm.
Trade what? Oh, we'll go see. And so they.
And one of my favorite sequences, learning about the Mandalorian as a character.
Oh, my God.
He goes to trade. And he is mad at these Jawas, very angry at these Jawas because of what they did, and so he has to give up all of his weapons. And you know, they're asking for ridiculous requests for his stuff. They ask for his best car that he has, Mandalorian metal. They ask for Baby Yoda, all these different things. And at one point, he's like,
how about this? And then he puts the flamethrower on.
He literally flamethrows one of them. Like, ah. And then he's like, they don't really like, he's like, Kui's character is all like, they don't really like you. He's like, well, I disintegrated some of them. So.
Oh, and the Mandalorian gets roasted by Jawas. They're just
yes.
Because Jawa is terrible. You sound like a Wookiee.
No, yeah, because he started trying to speak Jawa, and then they said his Jawa is terrible.
You sound like a Wookiee. And like, well, it was also funny, like a little funny line before that was when like they pull him up on the sled, and he's just like, "I want you to leave your weapons." And he's just like, "I'm a Mandalorian. It's part of my religion." I was like,
"Ah, dude, it's so cool."
Called it. I knew it was Mandalorians are a religion. Called
it's like
it.
Jedi and Mandalore are like the Islam and Christianity of the Star Wars world.
Does that make the Sith the Jewish people, Corey? It's not very PC of you.
I'm just saying that's not what I was saying. I was just making a joke. I was just making a goof. Cants.
Sorry. Anywho, they just kind of start chanting the egg.
Oh goodness.
Oh,
you're right. That egg, though. And so they
go on a sandcrawler ride too, where he's just like, the Jawas are just like, woohoo! Like, and like he bangs his head on the top of the roof.
The funny thing is like that's the moment when I was like, gosh, this episode was funny.
This episode is awesome.
Like it's like filled to the brim with character, and plus the shot when they're actually in there is a really cool shot.
Like, it's like very cramped.
It's very like you can see how claustrophobic it was, and then it's
especially
just
for, you know,
rumbling down and everything like that.
Much taller than Jawas.
Uh-huh.
He's just like sitting like crisscross applesauce in the little cockpit, and which is funny because like the sandcrawler is so huge on the outside. Uh-huh. It's just like, oh man, this is like a little cubicle for someone who's, you know, above 5'5".
Mm-hmm.
No, but like, and so they get there, and like, also he takes Baby Yoda everywhere with him because there's no way he's leaving all alone with anyone.
Exactly, because the Jawas are not to be trusted.
Nope. And so it is.
Like, I personally think Key, or Keel, or whatever, is definitely to be trusted, but
he's
still
trustworthy, but like.
Like, he can't control everything. Yeah.
By
the Jawas.
The Jawas.
Mm-hmm.
So they walk over to this little cave. He goes in there. He's got a blaster. He's got his rifle. It's also very muddy.
Mm-hmm.
And so he walks in, and like he's just looking through all his fur, and then like an eye opens, and then you cut to the outside with like Baby Yoda just kind of looking into the cave.
This and then like, where's the Mando?
And then like you see like little illuminate, like little flashes of light from his blaster, and then he just gets pummeled out of the mouth of the cave by whatever we're about to see. And he like is trying to get his rifle, but like all the mud that he's just been pummeled into is like messed up the mechanism, so it won't work.
Mm-hmm.
And then this huge furry rhinoceros thing just walks out of the cave looking very cross.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's up to the Mandalorian has to defeat the beast to get an egg. And I wouldn't say hijinks and shit. It's brutal.
The Mandalorian almost dies. You like, can tell that his chest plate, his breastplate is not made out of Beskar.
No, it is.
It also has tech underneath. Yeah, it just gets pummeled. He can't even like set things on fire because his stuff gets ripped off.
Right, no, he's just like trying to burn it, and he's just like, fire doesn't work on me, you idiot.
No, yeah, like all this stuff just ensues, and then you're just going, he's just getting pummeled. And then he gets put to the point where he keeps on getting pushed down, and then like Baby Yoda's always like, he looks really concerned.
Yeah, he's really like scared for gravelly voiced mean space dad. Uh-huh. And the Mandalorian is basically accepting that he is going to die from this furry rhinoceros.
Mm-hmm.
Because like he takes out his little like knife and is just like holding it in both of his hands.
Mm-hmm.
With this thing charging at him.
Mm-hmm.
And what happens next, Corey?
Is you see Baby Yoda take out his hand. Mm-hmm. And then he begins to levitate with the force.
Well, yeah.
The big muddy rhinoceros thing. And it is probably one of the coolest moments that we've had in The Mandalorian yet. Because you just see everything go out there. And then you like... You don't even have to see the Mandalorian's face to notice that he is just amazed. Because I don't think this guy's ever seen anybody use the Force before.
No, well, because the Force has got to be, like, so rare because, well, first of all the Jedi were killed.
Mm-hmm.
And he might even know...
Most of the Jedi were killed. Apparently a ton of Padawans survived.
Well, yeah. Thanks.
Cal Kestis. Disney. Kanan Jarrus.
Ahsoka Tano.
So many...
Ezra Bridger.
They really just need to, like, I don't know... That's one thing about canon that frustrates me is they are like, oh, we want to make stories. Let's make them all be between 3 and episode 4. Right. Oh, what? You can't have Jedi in that time because of what we established from canon before? Just kidding.
Whoopsie.
It's just annoying. I just wish that they would probably set some of these stories or more of these stories where like literally the Mandalorian is. Like set them before 6 and 7. Just makes more sense to me.
Well, you could do, they can't really do a Padawan angle if it's after episode 6.
But they don't have to be. Why can't it just be about somebody who's Force sensitive? I'm going to pitch something cool. Somebody who's Force sensitive, somebody who has always been out of place and doesn't understand where they are, and they, it's set right after episode 6, and he or she just studies the Force, finds basically schematics for a lightsaber, different things like that, and kind of becomes a Jedi. But then these Imperial remnants are trying to like attack them and different things like that, and all this kind of stuff ensues. Or people just discovering the Force. Or like, right. I just think that that'd be like a cool premise. Not going back to the tire trope of another Padawan.
Well, you gotta think a few of them escaped Order 66.
I know, but I feel like a lot of them. I feel like it's just a tired kind of deal, but. Regardless, we're talking about the Mandalorian.
Well, yeah, so Baby Yoda lifts up the mm-hmm. rhinoceros,
mm-hmm.
and then like the Mandalorian is just like looking up, just like, oh, I'm not dead yet,
huh? He's like, well, that's crazy. Huh. And then the rhinoceros falls down for some weird reason. The Mandalorian gets him in one shot in the neck, kills
twist.
Yeah, he shanks it. He does a jab and twist.
Yeah.
And
because he's efficient what he does.
Mm-hmm. And then Baby Yoda falls asleep because he's like really exhausted due to, you know, using the Force.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess I asked just a question about Yoda's species and Force sensitivity.
Like the thing is, sure, we've only seen three of them, but
three out of three
are Force sensitive, which means that maybe there's just more at foot with Yoda species. And I really hope that this series actually explores that a little bit more. I think that'd be cool.
Yeah. So yeah, he kills it. He goes, it's like looking. He's like finds the egg, walks back. Nick Nolte's like, no, don't go, Jawa. He'll be here any minute. And then they start leaving, and then he finally comes over. He's like, what took you so long? Or something. I can't even remember what he like his retort was.
He's like, I thought you died or something like that.
Or something that's like, yeah, but like, so like the Jawa is just like, slice it open and start eating the egg.
And that's literally all it was for. They traded all those parts just for food. For egg yolk. Well, don't even really understand. Or egg white. Yeah.
Apparently the Jawas don't have the resources to best fur rhinoceroses, I guess.
They do to scavenge ships, I guess.
They can, but I guess, well, you'd think that one of the weapons on the ship they scavenged would just be robust enough to shoot the thing, but I guess not. Mm-hmm. But no, it was, I don't know, it was cool. So like they get the parts back and like, I think it starts raining or something. And like, Baby Yoda's just floating alongside in his little pod. And like that big largemouth bass on legs is pulling the stuff back to, his ship skeleton. And like Nick Nolte is just like, is it still asleep? And he's like, yes. He's like, it's like, so it did what you said it did? Yes. I have no idea what it is. Mm-hmm. So like, he's definitely never seen the Force before.
Uh-huh.
And I bet, and like, I'm willing to bet, because it was majority of people haven't.
No, and it's one of those things where he said, can you describe to me what happened again? And he goes, I don't even know what happened.
It's like, I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what I saw.
Mm-hmm.
I'm tripping.
No, yeah, and I just think that was really like fascinating, and it was really cool to kind of get that. And then they got all the parts back,
right?
And they began to, and then they got a montage.
So
yeah,
you know what? So if any of you have ever played Red Dead Redemption 2,
yeah,
like I just like think like, oh, it's like where they build the house.
Oh
like,
yes, you're right.
Let me get a hammer and a nail, and I'll nail it.
See you, David. You have a good one, man.
Later. We'll build a little house or build a little ship together. That's... No matter what the weather, we're together. Yeah, so basically they put his ship back together, and I'm just going to assume a couple days, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
He's just like, this will take days to fix. It might go quicker if you help.
Mm-hmm.
So then, like, Baby Yoda's sleeping the whole time, and they get the ship put back together.
He offers him a job.
It's like, yo, what's your money? No. I could use a crew member of your skills. My place is here.
Yeah.
You brought peace to my valley.
And I thought it was actually kind of cool, some character building. He said, I fought my whole life to like get to not be in servitude. So I'm guessing that he's been through a lot.
Yeah.
And so like, it was kind of cool seeing him say that. And then the Mandalorian goes on his way. He goes out and he's worried about it. He can tell he's worried about Baby Yoda because he looks back and he's still asleep. But then as the episode closes down, you see Baby Yoda. And
he wakes up.
Wake up, and you're like, Baby Yoda, wake up. You wanted to. But anyways.
So yeah, but.
Chop suey aside.
And trust in my tiny green friend. I don't know. But that, and then, like, you know, they're in space probably to face this little conundrum he has. Do I give this adorable little thing I've adopted to Werner Herzog? Who's probably going to do naughty things.
I know, like, because the thing is, I think they're going to want to experiment on this Baby Yoda, and I can't take that.
No, I would just steal the best car and take Baby Yoda for myself.
Nah, for sure. So... Yeah, so
we also haven't seen MMA lady or
Gina Carano.
Yeah, we haven't seen her yet.
Yeah.
I mean, we'll see her next episode.
All right. Sure. We'll see her eventually, but.
It's like, oh, Mando, you have a kid? Not exactly.
But yeah, anything else that you want to add for this episode? I just highly recommend it. So yeah, it's a good episode. It was very great episode. Thoroughly enjoyed it.
It was a great episode. I'd love it. I'd watch it. I've watched both episodes twice. I'll probably do a rewatch of all the episodes when it gets near the end or when it's all out.
Oh, yes.
Just cause. And you know how everyone was complaining about, oh my God, they're releasing on it a weekly basis. Well, yeah, we're talking about it and we all can't wait for the next episode. Why wouldn't they do that?
No, exactly. It's to build hype. It's like the Game of Thrones method and all those kind of things.
Like,
you know?
No one was talking about Stranger Things after a week and a half. So, you kind of can't fault them on this one. But at least you can watch it when it, like, we still have an advantage over traditional TV because when it drops in a week, you can still watch it whenever after it's dropped. Like, you don't have to, like, DVR or anything or, you know. So, that's all I got to say. Great episode. Wish they were longer. Hopefully, there'll be more girth to episode 3.
Yeah, for sure.
Episode 3, The Girth. No.
Yes, that's what it's called. Yeah, this episode was called The Child.
Yeah, it was 2. Called The Child.
The Child. So, yeah.
Anyway, that's all we got for The Mandalorian. Mm-hmm. We'll be back in just a quick second to talk about... Well, I guess we can touch on the other Mandalorian news, and then we can go into some the other side of the Disney money machine, Marvel. We'll
talk about Marvel.
So we'll be back in just a second.
Hello, Vietnam. And by Vietnam, I mean Box Office Bros.
Good morning, Vietnam.
I'm aware of the quote. I just felt right. Anyways. Box Office Bros is back, and we're about to talk about
kind of like
Marvel movies.
Well, do you want to briefly touch on that little Mandalorian thing?
Oh, yeah, I forgot. We should.
They want to make a movie out of the Mandalorian now. Yeah,
and I think that it makes sense because, like, think about Downton Abbey. Think about, like, kind of one of those things where they can just have, like, a cool 2-hour and 30-minute Mandalorian story that happens in canon, obviously, and then...
So, like, it would just be... Would you rather be, like... super relevant to the plot, or maybe just kind of a side quest in a movie?
I think that it would be a good conclusion to a plot line, even. Or yeah, I think it would be like a really cool, like, say they have a good season of The Mandalorian putting up, and then they'll be like, okay, this big arc, ending of the arc, will be out on Disney Plus 2-3 months from now.
Yeah,
or
like
a
after,
month, or a
like,
month from now.
Like, at, like, I would say maybe like a couple of months, but like as soon as its theatrical run is over, that is on Disney Plus.
Yeah, exactly. And I think that's a perfect way to kind of do it. And so I think that would be a really interesting way, like calling Mandalorian Mandalore. It's like the rise of, or it's like the rise of Clan Vizsla or something like that, like a cool name like that or different things like
Or, well, I'm assuming, like, this will come at least for sure after season 2 and maybe even season 3 of The Mandalorian. Mm-hmm. Because, well, would this take a place of, like, a yearly Star Wars release, kind of? Because, like, you know, they kind of just shuffled away that Boba Fett movie and that turned the Obi-Wan stuff into a series. Like, could this be, like, the off-year Star Wars thing? Like,
I guess so. But you have to still keep in mind that now I'm pretty sure they can go ahead and kind of just do what they want and get that Kevin Feige one going. You know, now that Benioff and Weiss isn't even a part of it.
Well, yeah, well, because my
part of anything, you know?
Because my thought is, because there's still like a 2022, a 2024, and then a 2026 Star Wars release, according to Disney's thing. So, like, I wonder.
I doubt that. I doubt that those are real dates at this point. You know what I mean? I bet those dates are more or less placeholders, kind of the way I perceive it. But I get where you're coming from.
Right. So, but yeah, well, I'm assuming like this movie's going to come out at least after 2 full seasons, maybe even 3, because then we'll have like a full cavalcade of characters for the Mandalorian.
No, you're right.
Off. Maybe even other Mandalorians. Like, you think the Mandalorian has a best friend?
Dude, yeah, his name's probably Fred. Fred Vizsla.
Fred Vizsla.
Just oh my God. just like how I was talking about how or never mind. I'm not gonna mention that over the airways. I just had a dumb thought. Anyway, I'll just tell you later.
Like instead of Fred Claus, it's Fred Vizsla.
Yeah, Fred Vizsla.
And he has a flamethrower and bounty, but he's super friendly. Almost a nauseatingly friendly for a bounty hunter.
He's like, "Hey guys, I'm Fred. Fred Vizsla. Fred Vizsla here from Vizsla Bounty Hunting. You want someone dead? We got that. We got you covered."
He's like
thrown in carbonite. That's our game.
He's like the leader of the clan at the time's like nephew who is really annoying, but mm-hmm. You know, he's his sister's kid, so he's gotta love him no matter what.
I just really want them to like. Going. I know for sure since Filoni's working on the series that we're gonna see the Darksaber at some point, but I need it now.
Yeah,
I want to see that Darksaber in live action, and it's so Fred's. Badly. What?
It's Fred's Darksaber now.
Yeah, he's just like, "Hey guys, look at." He goes, "Hey guys, look at this."
Want to see me skewer this bounty?
He's like, "My great 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 great
great great great great great great great great great great great great great great great great great great great great great great great great great
great great great great great great great great great great great great great great great great great great great great great great great great great great great great great great great great great great great great great great great
great great great great great great great great great great great great great great great great great great great great
great great great great great great great great great great great
great great great great great great great great great great great great great great great great great great great great great
great great great great great Okay. Corey's about to rant.
Empires.
Corey is about to rant, guys. Okay. Seriously. You make a solo movie that nobody wants to watch. You make Rogue One, which sure some people wanted to watch. You understand that right when Disney got the property and they said they're going to make spin-off films, you know what the first thing people said? You know what the first thing that people want? If you really want what the people actually want and that people actually said, nobody said they wanted to see Solo running around Nobody said
well,
that.
We enjoyed it.
People want to, like, I actually enjoyed Solo, but still, people wanted to see freaking the Old Republic. I don't understand what these people's deals are. People at Disney really need to stop being tone deaf and think that they understand what the fans want, because they don't. Like, seriously.
It's like,
bruh.
What spinoffs do you guys want to make? Make the Old Republic. Oh, you want a Solo thing? Sure. That's not what I said at all.
That's literally what it's like.
Oh, what's that? You want some Obi-Wan stuff? Sure, that'd actually be really cool. Why don't you do that? But also do Old Republic. Okay, we'll make we'll hire a bunch of people and fire them. Are you even listening to me?
Oh, but
I'm saying words, but you're not responding.
But we're getting a little off base here. Right, the Mandalorian movie, I think it's a good idea. I think it's a great way to get people to get out of the theaters and watch stuff and then watch even more stuff on Disney Plus. So
maybe it'll just be like
it'll definitely make them that money.
A Mandalorian movie comes out.
That would be so dope. Like, and then like they even it'd even like make things cost less for them, because then they can do production back to back. And then they just add some budget onto for the movies.
That'd be sweet.
And maybe they can make them standalone enough to where that somebody could just watch a Mandalorian movie and it should be fine for them. You know what I mean?
It's just a Baby Yoda movie.
Mm-hmm.
Just him sitting.
Honestly, yeah, Baby Yoda movies actually. Star Wars isn't even Star Wars. It's just the Baby Yoda universe at this point.
This is Baby Yoda's world. You're just living it.
Listen here, kids. This is Baby Yoda's world. You're just living in it.
Like, Baby Yoda might be a psychopath because he didn't care. He just let the Death Star happen. He doesn't care. It's his world.
That's wonderful. But with that being said,
right, Marvel movies.
Let's get into Marvel movies. And also, if you want to ask us any questions, go on to Box Office Bros Pod on Facebook and shoot us any messages on any questions you have about The Mandalorian or anything like that. Or go on to Twitter, which is just Box Office Pod. And yeah, just follow us, check things out, and then I'll be trying to post content regularly there, because I like just got a notification saying, "Hey, you need to post more for social media," and I'm like, "You're right." But anyways, if you have any questions, any comments on what you're saying, any reasons why Chance and I are terribly wrong, which, you know, occasionally we are, just let us know in our social medias. Chance just started playing footsie with me. This is very, very... Chance, stop it. Chance, we're on the air. Stop being...
Do you like counterclockwise or clockwise?
Anyways, Marvel movies. Marvel movie, they released a set of release dates for the chance you like ruin everything. Anyways,
just like my dad said.
Ayo, got him. Disappointments. Anyways, four more Marvel movies are going to be in
2022 and 2023.
So it's like four movies four in each year.
Four
in each year.
Yeah.
Oh my god, that is way too much. But okay, that's fine.
That's this like is, a phase and a half. Like phase one was six, so you're gonna have eight in 2 years.
That is bonkers. Which is the part of the reason why I understand why they didn't like announce as many stuff for this last phase.
Right.
And it's like crazy how this stuff is going. And...
Are you tired, Corey? You look tired.
Yeah, I am tired. I'm feeling a little tired today. But I'm just saying, like, whoa. Wow. I'm just thinking, like, okay, so Ant-Man 3 is going to be one of those movies.
Well, we already know at least three of them.
Yeah, Ant-Man, Black Panther is going to be one of those.
Captain Marvel 2.
Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3.
So we know four of them.
Yeah.
Probably. One might be a new thing, though.
Fantastic Four?
Maybe.
X-Men?
Maybe.
Do you think that? Because technically that means, would that mean that it would be a... Does this go above? Because I forgot when Kevin Feige said he had his 5-year plan, but a few years ago he said he had a 5-year plan. I don't know if this was a part of it.
Well, didn't a few years even before that, like, yeah, we got at least up to 2020 something. And then, like, it's like, oh, that's so far away. And then I realized 2020 isn't like a couple. So, like, that decade is fast approaching, folks.
No, dude, the past few years have kind of been a blur. Ever since 2016, like, the last 4 years has just been like. So
one big acid trip,
pretty much. Honestly, I'm convinced we're in the Matrix, but it's okay.
Man, the simulation sucks,
right? But it's like one of those deals where I think that there's a lot of room to grow and do some really cool things with this phase Marvel films as they're implementing different series.
Well, I'm pretty
and
sure
long form series. So,
well, yeah, because there's the Marvel TV that's going to be all connected.
Like Moon Knight, and the thing is, that he even confirmed that all of these characters are going to spin off into the movies.
Nice.
And they're just going to expect that. Okay, you watched the stuff on Disney Plus. They're going to be a part of it.
It's like I say, you're either on this train or you're not.
Exactly.
Well, I mean. Well, it's the thing, though, because I'm pretty sure with the Spider-Man movie coming in 2021, probably.
Yeah.
It's going to be 4 in 2021 as well, because, let's see. Because next year you get Black Widow and the Eternals, correct?
Yes.
In 2021, you get Shang-Chi. Then you get Doctor Strange, Multiverse of Madness.
And I'm very curious about that one.
Then you're going to get a Spider-Man movie, and then you're going to get Thor, Love, and Thunder. So that's four in 2021. Oh, wait, were you curious about Multiverse of Madness?
Yeah. Like, Multiverse of Madness just seems like it's going to be a wild film.
It's going to be a trip. But, no, well, it's also, WandaVision's going to be required reading for that one, too. Well, maybe not required reading, but...
No, for sure. But I honestly don't even care because if there's anything to get me to go watch something so that I can be caught up with canon, it's watching Marvel films.
Benedict Cumberbatch.
So it's like one of those things where I'll watch a Marvel film, even if I'm not all that excited for. Like, for instance, if they were to announce Captain Marvel 2. Oh, Captain Marvel 2 is probably going to be one of those movies. But anyways, Captain Marvel 2.
I said that, you goof.
Oh, whoops. I guess I don't pay attention. Anyways, Captain Marvel 2.
Yeah.
Say if they announce that and they're like, same director, same exact team, we're not changing anything. Not going to be too excited for that film because Captain Marvel is not that great of a movie.
I watched it again last night, by the way.
No, yeah, like there are parts of it that are entertaining, but it's not that great. It's just one of those movies that it's just leaves a lot to be desired because the storyline of itself is great. The script is just very poor.
Say Ben Mendelsohn and
Brie Larson isn't that great as Captain Marvel the way that they directed her. It's just a bummer.
Like a little change up like they did with Thor when Taika came in.
Yeah, I kind of hope they get a better director, like maybe get a Maybe like steal a Patty Jenkins away, maybe, or do something. That'll never happen. I don't think that ever happened either, because I think she's on her way
to directing. They also signed those two already. Hopefully they just take the criticisms. Well, because they're like super new at directing too. They're like indie film directors that they took for Captain Marvel.
Yeah, and they usually do that, and usually it works. But this taste, I could say it did not work. Because like
super new directors, I've noticed, rely heavily on cliche. Uh-huh. And I think Captain Marvel just kind of suffers from that.
Nah, for sure. And it's just like one of those things where I'm kind of like, ugh. All
right, so
I just hope that the new, because are you sure they're signed on? I never heard that they got signed on. You're probably right, but I
feel like I like heard it after like the movie hit a billion.
Mm-hmm.
So it's possible. Well, we get, so basically the movies we know. So it'll be Thor: Love and Thunder will be like November of 2021. Oh man, we're in November of 2019. The Thor movie's 2 years away.
Sad. They don't have on their IMDb. They don't have Captain Marvel 2 or anything like that for them signed on.
Well,
because if there was any rumblings of it, it would be on IMDb.
I'm like, okay, I'm
like, it's gonna happen. It's gonna happen, obviously, but I don't know if they're signed on to it quite yet.
Well, anywho. So, all right. So, Thor: Love and Thunder will be coming out of November 2021. So, there'll be 8 movies in the next 2 years after that. And we probably know approximately half of them, which will be Black Panther 2, Guardians 3, Captain Marvel 2, and Ant-Man 3. So, that's 4. What do you think the other 4 are going to be? And do you think, what order are we going to get them in anyway?
What order?
Yeah.
I don't know if I can really say what order is, because I kind of need to understand how these films are going to go and how they're going to feed into each other and what their series are and what the series surrounding them are going to look like.
Because, you know, the Miss Marvel series might connect to the Captain Marvel
series. Exactly. Sequel. And so, like, what I'm thinking,
I bet one of them is Blade.
Yeah, I think one of them would probably be Blade. That makes sense. I think one of them is going to be Fantastic Four. I don't think X-Men's going to come for a while.
What if it was like,
or if it was just like maybe Wolverine. Yeah, like I could see them doing a Wolverine.
Wolverine just hijacks the X-Men.
Yeah, like I could see them doing a Wolverine movie, but the deal is, I'm like, let's just do an X-Men movie. I understand why people are like, they should do a Wolverine movie, but I'm like, I still think it's too soon.
Yeah,
in my opinion, with Logan and all that kind of stuff, and like I know that might seem a little weird, but I'm just kind of like, let's just get X-Men right before we get into the whole problem of, as much as I love Hugh Jackman as Wolverine, and as much as I love a lot of those Fox X-Men films, I think that they didn't rely on the cool parts of what makes the X-Men, not the X-Men, a Wolverine story. You know what I mean?
Unless they did their best job make Cyclops lame.
Because, like, exactly. Because, like, Bryan Singer hates Cyclops, apparently. Just makes him a whiny brat the entire time.
Also,
because what he is, like, sure, he's a bit of a Boy Scout, but he's basically, like, the Captain America of the X-Men. He is good.
That could be, like, a replacement for Captain America.
Exactly.
Besides Anthony Mackie, yeah.
He's good to a fault. He's a great statistician. He knows how to like fit everybody together and get into the right place. Mm-hmm. And he has a brilliant mind and he's very powerful in his own right. He's not the most powerful X-Men, but he is very powerful in his own right.
He's got a killer stare.
Yes, indeed. And he understands a lot of stuff there. And he's also a good foil to Professor X, when Professor X is not necessarily like
doing
the right thing. And kind of thinking in the way that somebody who can understand everybody's thoughts and everybody's things like that think. When he's like, no, you're kind of just controlling people and being...
You're being a jerk.
You're kind of being a jerk.
Oh, Scott, we're going to go do this.
Right. And I don't know. I know that he's already been in the MCU, but Idris Elba as Magneto would be so cool.
It would be, but I'm pretty sure he, like, really didn't like it.
Well, yeah, well, partly because they had a character and they kind of shafted him in the MCU.
That's true.
Heimdall's fun, but the only reason why he's fun is because Idris Elba plays him. Also, if anybody else played him, he would be a very boring character that nobody would care about.
Does anyone else remember what Heimdall did in Thor: The Dark World? Because I don't.
Yeah, pretty much nothing.
So
he was really he's really cool in Ragnarok though.
Cool in Ragnarok in a brief second in Infinity War before stuff. I don't know. Well, like it'll be interesting. Well, definitely it'll be casting the X-Men and the Fantastic Four might be the most like thing you have to get right that Marvel's had to do so far.
Mm-hmm.
Like I don't know. Well, because no one got super bent out of shape. Well, a few people got bent out of shape about Brie Larson.
Yeah.
Maybe when they first cast Tony Stark. I mean, I didn't hear people complaining about Mark Ruffalo being Bruce Banner.
People complained about why can't I think of his name? Captain America.
Chris Evans.
Yeah, people complained about Chris Evans. They're like, what, the guy who played the Human Torch? What, the guy, he's like just so like, no, what's that guy? And people were complaining about all the choices because John Krasinski was even up for it. And people were like, what's their deal? What are they even trying to do? When John Krasinski probably even would have been good too.
Yeah, like, cause I'm running through like phase two. You got Doctor Strange. Maybe Paul Rudd is Ant-Man, but at the same time, once they realize
one thing that we're not even talking about is what about the Avengers film?
Yeah,
what about in a new Avengers movie? Do you really think they think they're gonna do a smaller Avengers movie or like a young Avengers movie? Because that's something that they said they wanted to do.
Well, that's
a young Avengers movie.
That's the interesting thing because let's see, there's two next year, and then. So we're assuming there's not going to be an Avengers movie in 2021.
I don't think there will
be. Which means that there will have been 10 movies since an Avengers movie, plus a handful of shows at that point. Well, let's see. You'd get...
Which is just...
What if those shows don't really
which
count?
Is just mind-boggling for me how much content Marvel is putting out right now. Like, shoot.
Like you'll it's have, nuts. You'll have Falcon and the Winter Soldier, WandaVision, and then... What else was, what other, was there another, like, another show that they announced, like, originally at Comic, oh, Loki, I'm not sure Loki would really seed into things too much.
I don't know, do you think Loki might go into Love and Thunder?
No, I don't think so.
You don't think so? I don't know, I don't They'd know if they, I don't know, if they, I don't so know, much to get I don't Loki know if they would have a lot to do, you know what I mean?
Well, like, it's not, well, because it's character developed less Loki, and he's in another universe.
But what about if, it was after, it was set after he did all of his stuff in that thing, or in his series?
Well, yeah, but, like, how does he get to the R continuity? You know what I mean?
Well, you know.
I know they could, but I'm just saying. It's the same problem with Gamora, where it's like, you've had all this character development, and it's gone. Loki's gone, but he's still here. But there, all that character development that you know, you did get some pretty good like brotherly time in Dark World, and then in Ragnarok, and then Loki sacrificing himself for his brother. That Loki is the Loki at the end of the Avengers movie. Like Loki you see at the beginning of Dark World is the Loki we have now, pretty much.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just kind of like, I don't know, just seems like a writing headache, and to put him in Love and Thunder. When you're gonna have Natalie Portman getting Thor powers, just
yeah,
seems
it's
like
probably
it
just too much,
really
too many,
busy.
Yeah, too many moving parts. But if there's anybody who could do it, it's Taika Waititi. But
that's true. He could
still.
Do
it's
it.
One of those things where I don't know if it's necessarily where his stuff lies, because I think he's best when he's writing for Thor and he's writing about Korg and all those kind of people
right.
and stuff like that. Anyway, so
you have to press pause on Loki, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so. Yeah, so you have 10 movies. You'll have Loki, which may or may not feed into it. Are there any more? So let's see. Falcon and the Winter Soldier is next fall.
Mm-hmm.
WandaVision is the spring after that. And then Loki will be that summer, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
So I should really look over like that phase four thing that I saw. But so, yeah, you're going to have at least two series that tie into the main plot
mm-hmm.
on TV and 10 movies. Like, you'll get...
There's so much Marvel.
Well, I guess Black Widow wouldn't really count that much. Because you get Black Widow, you get The Eternals, Shang-Chi, Doctor Strange, Thor, Love, and Thunder, in these four movies in 2021.
There's just so much.
Or 22.
There's just so much Marvel content coming out.
Oh, content.
It's just kind of crazy. And I don't know what their plan is. And I will be very positive about it once I realize where they're going. Because right now it just seems like a lot.
Yeah, but like,
it's okay.
You know what my question is? Like, what, you know how they're talking about like these TV Disney Plus characters being integrated into like the movies?
Mm-hmm.
My first thought is like, I'm just trying to connect the dots on which movies will like shuffle in the Disney Plus characters.
I could see Moon Knight. I could see Moon Knight being in Blade.
Moon Knight and Blade, Miss Marvel and Captain Marvel.
Mm-hmm.
But where would She-Hulk have to be, like an Avengers movie?
I feel like that would probably make sense. Where would
you put in She-Hulk?
I feel like Mark Ruffalo's going to be in that She-Hulk movie too.
For like a little bit.
Yeah.
Because it's so odd that like the She-Hulk is, I don't, like, there's no, like, because of the dicey places where Hulk is with the distribution, right? Like, you can't just, like, hey, and here's a Hulk movie. Oh, here's She-Hulk. Like, you can't do that. Like, you can with Blade and Moon Knight and Miss and Captain Marvel.
That's what I'm saying about, like, Marvel and all that kind of stuff. I don't know. Like, I don't know what their plan's going to be until I actually start watching this content. And right. So it's like one of those deals where it just, like, at this point, what really matters is, like, what happens, you know? Right. Is, like, what's happening during these series. Because I really don't have any room to judge or say anything until
we see them.
We see it. So, yeah.
Well, you know what my thought is?
What's that?
Is that, okay, so I almost think that 2017 was like the perfect Marvel lineup.
Uh-huh.
Because you had Guardians 2
mm-hmm.
in May,
mm-hmm.
with Spider-Man in July.
Okay.
And then you had Thor Ragnarok in November.
Yeah.
That's my preferred way.
That's a good way.
Because you're not going any more than 6 months without a Marvel movie. What they've been doing the last few years, like say like 2018, for example, you had Black Panther in February,
mm-hmm.
and then you had Infinity War in April, and then like end of April, beginning of May, and then you had Ant-Man and the Wasp in July.
Okay.
And so you had to wait for August, September, October, November, December, January, February, March. 8 months for the next one.
Uh-huh.
And I just don't like that.
Yeah, exactly. Because like right now,
and now it's even worse because of the whole like not having Guardians 3 next year.
Uh huh.
It's gonna be until Spider-Man Far From Home came out in July, so April. So if it comes out in May, it's going to have been 10 months since between Marvel movies.
Nah, because
so long. I'm such a baby. I know. Like, so that's the thing. If there's four, that means you're gonna get one. Like late winter, early spring, like where Black Panther was and where Shang-Chi is going to be in 2021.
Mm-hmm.
Then the May blockbuster release that Avengers movies always have. The midsummer one that is either going to go to your insect themed one because like 2017 and 19 it was a Spider-Man movie and then 2018 it was an Ant-Man movie. And then a fall release. I miss the fall release Marvel movies, okay?
Oh, for sure.
Like, I love my Thor Ragnaroks. I love my Doctor Stranges. And, oh, even you, Dark World. I can't stay mad at you. But,
I can't quit you. I can't quit you, Thor Ragnarok. Or Thor Dark World. Even with those rewrites from Joss Whedon, you get me just right.
You know what plot hole I just can't stand in the MCU?
What is that?
So in Thor Ragnarok, the ether is this angry jello. They not once, but twice neglected to show us how they got the reality gem in those gloves. It was an angry pudding pop that was melted and red misty all over the place. How do they make it into a little tiny pebble?
Hey, Chance.
What?
Hey, Chance.
What?
Guess what?
What?
It's a comic book movie.
How did they get it in the glove, Corey?
I don't know how they get into the glove, Chance. I really don't know how they get into the glove.
Well, that dank, I think you might that be, dank elf.
I think you might be overreacting a tad bit. Just a smidge.
It's mad just gelatin.
A smidge. I think it's just a smidge.
How do you turn mad gelatin into a rock?
I don't know, man. It's like, an infinity.
Where's the reality stone? It's just like, now reality can be whatever I want. Did you change reality so it's a convenient rock and not this jello that gets everywhere?
That's probably why.
It's like, well, because it's like the dark elf was like, yeah, mist. Red mist. I know this is a dumb thing to be harping on. I'm just curious. It's like,
no, it actually is really cool.
Mad lit? Like they just got like this, like you, they got like the world's most powerful lava lamp into this little divot in the glove.
Mm-hmm.
I gotta know. I know this is like a nothing of a rant, but I'm just like, how did you do it?
I don't know.
What magic?
They're crazy. This. Like, That crazy.
Dang reality stone, you crazy.
No. Dang reality stone. What are you some sort of? You some sort of stone?
Some sort of Malekith?
Or what? Are you some sort of dark? Are you part of some sort of dark world? Will Smith, if he was in Thor the Dark World. He just has to say the title of every single movie.
We're like dang that he's in. Am I right, guys?
He's like, he turns to the camera. What is this? Some sort of Thor Ragnarok?
What is this? Some sort of Ragnarok?
What is this? Some sort of multiverse of madness?
What is this? Some sort of Infinity War?
What is this? Some sort of end? Would you say that we're in the end game?
Okay, stop.
Nah, dude, this is actually, it just like fades to black. And it's like executive producer Kevin Feige. And it just ends like that. God. And he's just saying more, some sort of. What is this? What
is this? Some sort of the Winter Soldier? What are you talking about?
That movie came out 5 years ago.
What are you talking about? I guess all I have to say. I mean,
yeah.
Besides speculating on what, I doubt they're going to do a Nova movie for a while.
I think they might do a movie. I think they're going to do one. I'm just not sure when.
My problem is just how similar Nova is going to look to Captain Marvel.
Yeah, you're right.
I mean, maybe the context of maybe he's just, you know, been in space the whole time and is supposed to be from space.
No, maybe. That could be kind of cool. But, you know, regardless.
Let's take a break.
Let's take a break down here and all that jazz. Sorry about that. Technical difficulties for a moment there where I was acting a little bit awkward. But in the next segment, we're going to talk about how, for some weird reason, a lot of people are talking about a certain thing in the DC universe that's just not going to happen.
No one wants to
and
talk.
No, and no, you know, and I'm really like, and I have no, like, I don't want to talk about it. But a part of the reason why I'm going to talk about it is because I feel like it's going to be really funny hearing Chance and I talk about this, because we are both, I think we're both of the same opinion here. The Snyder Cut is never coming out. The
Snyder Cut's stupid.
The Snyder Cut stupid sucks. For I'm it. Sorry, Gal Gadot, you're a beautiful woman, but no, it's not coming out. Zack Snyder, you're a weird short man, and you're a talented dude, but it's not coming out. Short
kings now.
Hey, Ben Affleck, you're tall, and your love life sucks, and it's not coming out. Anyways.
Henry Cavill, facial hair, something.
You're the Witcher, you're the Witcher, but it's not going to come out. Okay. Gosh. Okay, anyways, maybe I should preface this with, for some weird reason, hashtag release the Snyder Cut has come out. You understand how ridiculous it is that anybody really wants the Snyder Cut of the Justice League to be out. And by the way, I need to preface this for anybody who doesn't know. The Snyder Cut is the original cut of the Justice League that they were making before Snyder infamously left production.
Because of family troubles.
Because of family troubles and Warner Brothers just straight up not wanting him to be there.
But the thing about it is, if he had to leave production due to his family crisis, would the Snyder Cut even be done?
The Snyder Cut would have been well along, but I don't know if it would have necessarily been done. It definitely
wouldn't have been done. Like, all the Snyder Cut would have been would just sort of been different color grading and maybe a few different edits.
Yeah, and it's like one of those things where people are acting like, all of a sudden, within the span of one movie, that Snyder would have figured out, oh, wow, this stilted dialogue sucks. Oh, wow, like, none of this story really makes sense. Oh, wow, Superman's very wooden. Oh,
oh, wow, Batman is killing way too many people. You know, all of this different things like that. And, like, I'm just sitting.
How do you watch Batman v Superman and think that Justice League was going to be anything different, but with more characters?
Exactly. It's just laughable
for wanting it.
It's laughable for me because it's just a ton of people. It's the same type of people who are like, oh, yes, how much you want to bet if George Lucas directed and wrote all the new Star Wars films means that they would be perfect. It's those same type of people
right.
who think just because something's not the way they want it, they think it in any other way, it would be better. I'm sorry. Justice League is still a mess, but Justice League would probably be a bigger mess if they released the Snyder Cut.
Or just the same mess, but different.
Yeah, exactly. It's just like one of those deals where, and the thing is, I like Zack Snyder as a filmmaker, actually. Like, I know I'm trashing on him right now, but I like 300. I actually like Man of Steel. I don't think it's amazing, but I like Man of Steel. And I like Watchmen, too. So it's like one of those things where it's just like, bruh, people need to understand that just because something hasn't been released doesn't mean it's necessarily good. And that's the way that I kind of see it, is people are just like reaching and grasping at straws because they were disappointed about how Justice League turned out. And hell, I'm disappointed too. I think it's a very sad thing when the thing is I have said this over and over and over again, and a lot of people have this opinion. They're DC people. I'm a DC guy. I love DC. The thing is, the only Marvel character who I like more than DC characters is personally Spider-Man. But, like, I grew up on Green Lantern in particular. Like, Green Lantern, and I really like Batman as well. Those were my two main guys. And I started really liking The Flash a little bit later. But it's, like, one of those deals where it was, like, bros and gals. I assure you, the Snyder Cut is not any better than what the Justice League is, because they're working with pretty much the same thing and the same story constraints. Because first of all, it's the same story, and to top it all off, Steppenwolf is still the villain, and Steppenwolf is still garbage. So
it's also a two-part movie that they had to cram back into one because they knew it was going to be a mess.
Exactly. They knew that this wasn't going to be a billion-dollar film like The Avengers. And they knew they pretty much shot their...
They knew they fumbled it.
And everything like that. And so it's like,
Like, and basically, releasing the ultimate cut of Batman v Superman just kind of created this little cesspool. Because it's like, oh, we can see the director's cut on how it was supposed to be. It's way longer. But... oh, we want the same thing for Justice League because we deserve it. No, shut up. No one cares anymore.
And sorry, and as film fans, do you really deserve anything? Not really. Like, I'm sorry that, like, if people are going to be upset or people aren't going to listen anymore.
I deserve 10.
But it's like one of those things where it's like a lot of film fans feel like they deserve this. Like, oh, we're Star Wars fans, so we deserve The Last Jedi that we like. So we're going to rewrite episode 8 and make it what we want it to be because we're the fans and we deserve this. We deserve the Snyder Cut. We deserve Marvel to do this or do whatever.
Deserve Superman with a mustache.
Like everybody's, I think we do actually. Superman with a beard and a black suit. I think we deserve that.
It's like, did you know what they should have done? They could have.
They should have just had him grow facial
hair. They should have had.
They just should have had him grow facial hair.
They should have had the full beard. Like, yeah. Okay, so you know that mustache he has for Mission Impossible, right?
Yeah. Pretty good movie.
You know what? Just turn that into like a full chin strap and goatee that like connects everywhere. That makes, you know, looks like he's, you know, been super alive, but just kind of in like a comatose state. Because of, you know, the injuries he suffered during... Well, I mean, that's just a weakness of Batman v Superman because they did way too much stuff in that movie. But just, like, he's been, you know, he's been kind of... like, don't use the mother box. He's, like, he's been kind of alive. Like, like you're just...
So he's still been, like... So he still could grow hair.
Kind of, like, yeah. Kind of, like, have you ever seen, like... Or seen or read, like, the Death of Superman? Like, they made a little animated thing of it.
Yeah.
Like, where he, like...
like super slow down his life force. So like,
oh, I know exactly. Like what you're
the
Hall
of Justice could only like detect his heartbeat like once every 24 days or something. Mm-hmm. Like that's how slow his vitals slowed down. Mm-hmm. It's like his hair was still growing and stuff. Like do that with like the black suit, and then just kind of like find a way to maybe use the Mother Box to heal him. Like, oh man, he's still alive or something like that.
Not for sure.
And then you can, and that's how you can avoid the whole weird CGI mouth thing. And basically have that, and then what you can do is, because by then the new last Mission Impossible movie has already been out, you can shave it off and then just have that scene, and then film us like film that, because at the end like Superman and Flash race, right? That little Superman Flash race that they do.
Yeah.
So like have and then just like film that right after production on Mission Impossible is over. Mm-hmm. And then you can have like
so you barely have to even use his face anyway. Like yeah,
you can use your clean cut Superman for like a little race with the Flash at the end of that movie, end of Justice League, mm-hmm. and then you can sell your black suited Superman and your regular suit Superman as toys. Come on, people! It's not that hard.
It isn't that hard. And gosh, the funny thing is about the whole Mission Impossible thing. Not even all that necessary for him to have a mustache. Personally, I think his character would have been better with a beard.
You know what all I can remember from the, like the trailers of that movie?
Was him going like this?
Yeah, like Henry Cavill just pumping up his...
Did
like,
you watch that cognitive. Movie?
I never saw
it. It's actually a really good movie. Pretty good. Or like, the thing is, story-wise, eh, but it's almost like if Mad Max Fury Road was a Mission Impossible movie. Because it was like... Because without the story... Because Mad Max Fury Road actually has a pretty good story for it. But as far as like action-wise, it's just a thrill ride the entire time. And it's a ton of fun.
That sounds awesome.
It's a really good Mission Impossible movie.
I know. Like, Tom Cruise is a freak, but he makes good... He acts very well.
No, he's really good in action and everything like that. And like, what I would really like would be like Keanu Reeves, Tom Cruise.
Where they fight each other?
Kind of movie. Like, I think it would be kind of cool. Just seeing, like, Tom Cruise would definitely lose. He doesn't have enough reach on Keanu. But, shoot, he might just cause, he might just hail some aliens to rain fire down on them.
Or they have to team up and then they have to take down Matt Damon.
No, for sure. But
Asborn.
Do you have any, do you have any final thoughts on... anything that was going on? I know that last few minutes was just a rant.
Jason Bourne, John Wick, Ethan Hawke team up movie.
Honestly, I think
that
would.
I just thought of it.
I think that would be a perfect film.
I wish I knew the Bourne soundtracks. I know it well enough. Just merge them all together. That movie would be so expensive to eat all three of them. So much money to get Matt Damon and Tom Cruise and Keanu Reeves. All right, does Keanu, I don't think Keanu Reeves has that big of a price tag, though.
Probably. Well, probably I think he does just because of how, like, especially how influential or, like, amazing of a, like, actor and his stuff that he's turned in, like, lately. That's but true. With that being said, we're actually going to be rolling out today. And, you know, thank you all for listening to Box Office Bros. Really appreciate all for listening. You know, send questions or anything like that to at Box Office Bros Pod on Facebook, and then go to Box Office Pod on Twitter and all that jazz, and then go to Box Office Bros Pod on Instagram as well. And yeah, y'all have a good one and have a blessed day and watch some movies. Box Office Bros out.
Thank you for listening to Box Office Bros.
Oh, gee, thanks, Dad.
You can catch the show live on Wednesdays, 12 noon to 2 o'clock, on MAV Radio, KVNO, HD2.
What about radio communication?
Start with radio.
This is Earth Radio.
What's radio again?
You can listen to the podcast version on Anchor, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and Stitcher.
Podcasts are great. Radio's boring.
Have a great day.
And see you next time.
If I'm not back in 5 minutes, just wait longer.
And now for my next impression... Jesse Owens.
Peace out.
Later, Tater.
End of story. Bye-bye.
See you later.